everybody, welcome back to the Great and Terrible AHS. We got past the opening, if you can believe it. Sorry, sometimes this show's like crazy like that. Part two, and it's just past the opening. You know how it is. Hey, everybody, welcome in. I'm joined, as always, by Miss Shadow Lovely and Slow Beef. Hey, what's good?
Hello.
Hey. Yeah. I'm Tight Tuesday, by the way. I almost forgot again. But yeah, we just made it to the opening segment here. We had to establish that Mr. Jingles, despite having no in-universe reason for this to be the case, is like a known and respected serial killer, like as though he were a fictional man like Jason Voorhees, correct?
Yeah, like yeah. Idolized. I'd go as far as to say like they idolize him, which is insane because the other thing is I hate to be that guy. Like I hate to be this guy. I really, really, really hate to be this guy.
Be the guy.
He's not even a serial killer, technically. Like, by definition, he's not a serial killer.
Yeah.
He's, like, a mass murderer.
He did one event.
Yeah, not being a serial killer. That's just, like, a guy who did, like, a lot of murders on one day, which,
I thought you were going to go the direction which I will go, which is he's also not a terribly conventionally attractive man.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be one thing if, like, part of the thing is, like, you know, Jason, you know, has the mask on and there's, like, an allure and also, like, monster fucker energy there, right? But this is just like a big guy with like who's like bald and has like a ring of long hair around the side of his head. It like, again, and I mean this out of no rudeness, I'm sure the actor is aware of who he is. He kind of is like a comic book guy from The Simpsons, like nasty.
You're saying he's kind of like the George Costanza of serial killers, where you're like, I don't think you could get a fan base like that in real life kind of thing.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah,
you kind of got it, yeah. Like, granted, I will say, because I know there's some people right now who are listening who are like, actually, but, like, I know that, like, in real life, there are people who do, like, fantasize and fan over like real serial killers, and they write them letters in like jail.
This is a whole town doing it as a tradition.
Yeah. I never get the chance to bring this up, this factoid up, but now feels like the closest to a time where it feels appropriate for me to ever bring this up in casual conversation. Fun fact, it's not a fun fact, but fun fact, one of the guys on Ghost Adventures, you know, Zach Bagans' ghost hunting show, one of those guys, unfortunately, like, the nicest one, his wife fell in love with a serial killer that she saw on a documentary, and they planned to assassinate the guy on Ghost Adventures, and he found out during an episode of the show. She's like in jail now. It's insane. What I'm saying is people are crazy, and do actually watch documentaries about serial killers and go, yeah, that guy seems like my soulmate. I'll start writing him letters in jail.
Do we have to talk about American Horror Story? Because I kind of want to know more about this, but I mean, no, it's not the venue for it. But wow, okay.
Holy crap. I said, I never get to bring this up. I never get to bring this up in casual conversation. So I'm thrilled that I finally got to say it to people.
Hey, who knows? Maybe that'll be the next Patreon bonus episode. We'll just be a bunch of ghost stories with Phyllis filling us back in on Zachary Bagans' weird divorced prison wife.
Yeah, like I said, unfortunately, it happened to, like, the one really nice guy on Ghost Adventures. So, like, it sucks. And, like, he gets the call as they're doing a ghost hunt, which is insane. Like, they're in the middle of doing the ghost hunt, and he gets the phone call like, hey, we're at your house. We just arrested your wife. She was working with a serial killer to assassinate you.
She was trying to get you.
My ass would immediately be like, this is like an Eternal Darkness Sanity's Requiem effect. The ghost is affecting me and making me believe this. Isn't real.
Was she trying to get him like a starring role as the ghost? Is that maybe? Maybe it was a nice
Yeah. She just wanted to support him. This is just a really backwards way that she was trying to support her husband. Yeah. But yeah.
Your most fucked up phasmophobia ghost.
Poor buddy. But yeah, all that to say, like, yes, I'm aware that, like, people do, in fact, like, do that for serial killers in real life. We aren't, like, big fans of those people. Like, most of society isn't like, yeah, that's a good thing to do. That's a good, normal, balanced thing to do. We should base a holiday around it, actually.
Mm.
But not this
town. Yeah, the townwide holiday is really what makes it crazy. The townwide holiday where, and after this we'll move on because we can't redo this again. The townwide holiday where they go up to the camp that has been closed for like a decade and I guess harass the people who aren't there.
That's really the confusing part, is that there's not like usually people there. So like, I'm not sure. They do say they, the two teens, I say teens, they're definitely like 30-year-old men, who are like, it's Jingles Day. They're like, yeah, this is the day of the year that we all go into town and kids like mess with businesses and restaurants and stuff. And again, I cannot overstate how insane that is as a concept. Like going into a random business on a random day in July and being like, it's this serial killer day, it's Ted Bundy Day, and then like flipping a table. Like that's nothing. That's nothing for nobody.
Yeah. Like, I lived in a town in a time growing up where, like, I would just kind of get back from school, say hello to my parents, and be like, all right, I'll be back by 6, and if not, I'll call you to let you know where I am until, like, 9. And even I feel like going and doing vandalism in the name of a mass murderer would be like, come on, man. Like, that's a bit much.
Yeah, we got to talk about these people you're hanging out with. The only other thing like,
don't get me wrong. I think trunk or treat is fucking weak. But that being said, I'm also not like we should brandish machetes at the grill.
Real. I think the only other thing of note that happened in the opening sequence is that we saw the other group that was being harassed by Richard Ramirez, parentheses real. They did not immediately just kill Richard Ramirez, even though they had infinitely more advantage over him. But they did escape. But the big takeaway, because it will be relevant for the rest of the episode, is that Ray is kind of a bitch, kind of a huge bitch, and is a coward and is willing to throw his friends under the bus in order to survive. But fortunately for him, Chet is not a bitch and did come back to save him, even though he was getting weirdly owned by Richard Ramirez, who was kind of doing a really bad job of attacking him. But they got away. The boys got away. Richard Ramirez is 0-for-3 on killing literally anybody. That was pretty much all like the stuff that was important that happened. And now the plan is again for everybody to meet back up at the parking lot now that we have obtained both set of keys, Here's the thing. They say, I don't remember, I could just be like misremembering, but like I don't remember how they ended up actually getting Rita's keys, because when they first got
Rita
to the cabin.
Rita just grabs them.
She just grabs them
from her desk and goes, got it.
Yeah,
and that's it.
The first time they get there, like, they're like, oh no, where are my keys? And then we see Keys McGeorge, aka Mr. Jingles, walking away with a mouthful of keys. So I guess this is her backup keys? Who the fuck has backup keys for their car?
My assumption is that the part with Mr. Jingles jingling away was just a coincidence that was very stupid, and Rita simply lost her keys.
Oh, well, that's so sad, because that was so funny. It was so funny to have Mr. Jingles be like, I'm so full of keys, and then walk away.
You know what? No, Liz, you know what? I'm going to stay in your universe where he ate the keys and Rita just has backup keys in case she gets hungry.
Yeah, because both of those things are stupid, so why not have both of them in this universe?
Yeah, yours is way more fun, so let's just do that.
Old Keys McGeorge. So that's where we left off, was that, like, we saw Mr. Jingles kill the two teens who were harassing the first group, which is Xavier and Trevor and Montana. Those three got away. And then Mr. Jingles just destroyed the two teens, which they do this thing, which is like really annoying. Well, it's going to happen again, so I'm not going to repeat myself. When they do it again in 2 minutes from now, I will repeat myself. But that was the last thing that happened to that group. The other group is just all running back towards the the aforementioned parking lot. The boys, specifically Ray and Chet, the bros, are like running together, and Chet's like, "We made it." And Ray's like, "Don't say that until we're back in LA." And then Chet says like something pretty funny, which is, "Oh, by the way, Nurse Rita is totally faster than you," which is a callback to like when he was like, "I only have to be faster than you guys to outrun Richard Ramirez, and I know I'm faster than two of you." Which is like a weird like misogyny thing he did in the middle of also just being a dick. He's like, "I'm faster than the ladies." Like, they can die. I'm faster than them. Like, damn, brother, you would have done gangbusters at the Titanic, I guess. who's ever heard of this
women
and children first?
Can get the fuck out of my way. Yeah. Give me that lifeboat, little missy.
Yeah. Whoever gets there first gets it. If you're slow,
why
it sucks
doesn't the
for you.
Strongest passenger simply capsize the rest of them?
True. Yeah. Like Brooke hears them like screaming because as they're running, something off screen happens to them because it cuts away and we hear what is certainly the sound effect of a bear trap snapping shut. This is now 2 for 2 of them using the complete wrong Foley noise for something that happens because they're running through the woods and then you hear shink like a bear trap snapping shut on somebody, which would like it's a horror movie. So like, that's not totally out of like the question. We've seen Mr. Jingles use caltrops. Yeah. Like that's not out of the question. It's not what happens.
Honestly, bear trap is like more in genre as far as I'm aware than caltrops.
Also, like sometimes there's just bear traps in the woods, TM, even though there's like not a horror movie going on. Like sometimes hunters put out bear traps so someone will accidentally step in them. So it would make sense. This wasn't like a, "Oh, I bet they got shot" or something. Like, no, it's like, "Oh, okay, they probably stepped in a bear trap." That's a pretty common like horror thing. And then as Brooke's like, "Uh-oh, I hear the boys a-screaming," Rita's like, "Well, they know where to meet us," and then they just keep running. So the boys didn't step in a bear trap. They stepped in a fucking Poonji Pit trap.
Which is got hit with the most dangerous game of all.
They got
hit in the fucking Burmese tiger pit from the most dangerous game. I can't believe it.
I'm hopeful it's not that accurate to, you know, the Vietnamese War where, you know, people used to like dip those sticks in actual shit to ensure people got there. So I'm hoping Mr. Jingle didn't like poop in the spike pit is what I'm saying. But
For all of our listeners who are like more normal than Liz and I, it's like a spike pit made of
Mortal
like
Kombat
logs that have been sharpened and put up. Mortal Kombat style fatality stuff. Right, absolutely. And they're super banned from war by law because they're really unpleasant. And people would also put like excrement on them and whatnot to make sure you got an infection, because like it's essentially you get stabbed like enough that it's bad but not enough to kill you like immediately, but you are like pretty fucking stuck down there.
so it's
like a really awful way to go.
Zero.
I'm sure it's in a Call of Duty somewhere, you know, but like
Sure.
Well, either way, Rita hears somebody have that happen to them and goes, "Damn, skill issue," and keeps moving. They're not being chased, to be clear. Like, there's no reason for them not to go back and help the boys. It's like just a dick move.
Especially because they think it's just Chet. Because, like, they don't think it's Ray. Because they think Ray got owned by Richard Ramirez. They have no idea that, like, Ray didn't die. So they just think it's Chet, who's, like, a nice boy. Who's just, like, a nice lad. So they're just like, fuck him. Fuck him. He'll be fine, probably. Also, miraculous.
Also, quite physically strong.
It's the Olympics boy. Luckily, because this is a TV show, fortunately neither of them, they both landed in the pit, but somehow both of them landed like at the edge of the pit instead of the middle of the pit. Ray just like didn't get hit by the spike somehow, despite falling in the pit. Unfortunately, Chet did, and he's impaled on his shoulder.
Chet was
not
tangible.
Good.
Idiot.
Yeah.
So,
get
smoked.
So wait, we know that this is Mr. Jingles and not Richard Ramirez because it's a trap from the war or stuff that he was a veteran of, right? But how did he have time? Like, maybe because he didn't have a lot of time to build this, I don't think, right?
Like, that's what I said. I said, who the fuck had time to set this up? Like, genuinely.
Oh, I'm sorry.
No. I mean, like, in the notes. We haven't gotten there
yet.
But, like,
gotcha.
Literally, even if he had gotten here, something is going to be revealed in about 5 minutes that I think is supposed to be the answer to it, but it still doesn't make any fucking sense, because what the answer to it also wouldn't have had time to set this up. It's fucking stupid. But now, I know we spent so much time in the opening sequence on this, but now there's a third guy. There's a third teen who's also dressed as Mr. Jingles. And Mr. Jingles, parentheses, real, finds him. And the third guy is pissing, like, super far away from where his friends are, which is weird. And he turns around and sees Mr. Jingles and is like, "That's my friend Larry." And I'm like, Mr. Jingles isn't wearing a mask. You can't do this bit, which has been in so many horror movies, where you're like, "Oh, haha, that guy is my friend and not the real killer." That only works in, like, Scream, where everyone's wearing a ghost face mask. Mr. Jingles isn't wearing a mask. It's just a guy.
Mm-hmm. He's a man. Yeah, he's just a man.
And, like, in a second, they're going to try and explain it, because the guy who's, like, supposed to be played as, like, this, like, goofy loser, like, this kind of dork-ass loser who, like, got dragged along with these people.
Thank you for bringing me. Thank you for letting me tag along. I know my mom asked me. And, that kind of kid.
I know my mom pays you to hang out with me,
yeah,
right?
Yeah, pays you to, like, hang out with me. Great. And again, I keep saying teens. These people are, like, in their 20s or 30s for sure. And they try to, like, play this off as, like, oh, he couldn't see because he puts the mask on, the Mr. Jingles mask, the hyper realistic Mr. Jingles mask, and then he puts on glasses and he goes, "Oh, sorry, man, you know I can't see without my glasses." I'm like, you're fucking wearing glasses. What are you talking about? You're literally fucking wearing glasses. Like, you can't be like, oh, he mistook him for his friend because he wasn't wearing his glasses. He is fucking wearing glasses. And also, this character never realizes that this is the real Mr. Jingles. Like, this is the kind of thing that in a horror movie you would have this character put his glasses on, see, like, uh-oh, that's not my friend Larry, and then have Mr. Jingles blow his shit the fuck smooth off. But, like, that's not what happens. He's like, "Nope, I have my glasses on now, and it's still my friend Larry, I think." And this guy doesn't die. And they literally let this dude talk about his twisted urethra and, like, how sad he is that he doesn't have real friends and, like, his mom paying them to hang up or hang out with him. And then he, like, walks away.
Hits an inhaler.
Yeah, he hits, like, he hits an inhaler like it's a fucking bong. And, like, Mr. Jingles is literally so fucking appalled by how much of a loser this guy is that he just lets him walk away.
Incredible.
Which is, like, pretty funny. Like, I'd like to see that in, like, a real, like, a good horror movie, like Halloween, where, like, someone is just, like, such a loser that Michael Myers is like, "You know what? You get a pass."
Jason Voorhees just shakes his head and, like, moves on. Like, you
this guy's never really getting laid. Well, Jason Voorhees would be like, "This guy's never getting laid, so I never have to worry about having to kill this guy. This guy's never gonna have sex." it's probably fine. So that guy exists. He will come back, but, like, that was our introduction to him and Mr. Jingles interacting. Now we're back in the spike pit with the boys. We're going to spend a lot of time in the spike pit with the boys. Ray is trying to pull Chet off of the spike, and it's not working, obviously. After they try this for, like, 30 seconds, Ray is like, "Oh, you know what? We probably shouldn't pull you off of that because you're going to bleed out." And I'm like, yeah, why did you even try the first time? Like, that's not no good. You're going to leave. You don't have anything to, like, stop the bleeding once you get him off of there. So, like, probably don't take it out. Best case scenario, like, I don't know, I'm not a doctor, break the stick off. Break the stick off at the bottom. Like, they're not big sticks. Yeah. Like, take it out of the ground. He's gonna have a stick in him, but, like, it's better than being impaled, suspended off the ground, like, 3 feet, in my humble opinion, in my humble medical opinion. Seems like it would suck
in
less.
In my medical opinion. Yeah, I agree. doctor. Yeah, 100%. Also, it's also my medical opinion professionally that not being completely immobilized in a murderer's trap when the murderer is coming is like another. That also has a great life expectancy increase. It's just pure upside.
Yeah, also free weapon. If he does show up, just pull the stick out of you. Now that you're standing upright, just pull the stick out of you and start beating him with it. Like, I see no downsides here. But alas,
yeah, he's not
going
to be ready for the surprise lethal hug.
Yeah.
Here I go.
Turning his own weapon around on him. He'll never expect us to use his tool against him. That was his fatal flaw. But yeah, this is where Chet's like, this is a punji pit. Mr. Jingles was a veteran. He learned this in Vietnam. And it's like, okay. That explains how he knows how to do them. Not how he had time to set him up. And then Ray's like, how do you know it's not the other guy who's trying to kill us? And I'm like, does it matter?
Also, wait, for the record, I don't believe American troops set up the spike pits.
No,
I do not believe that is something the American side was guilty of. We were guilty of, like, a lot. Like, being there in the first place, as an example.
Agent Orange,
but, like,
yeah, all that.
Yeah. But, like, he wouldn't learn how to make a spike pit from that. That's not a thing we were doing.
Right.
Or at least we weren't supposed to be. We really wouldn't have any, like, reason to, because they're more of like a, though they are banned by the Geneva Convention, they're more like a defensive type thing. They're not really an offensive type thing.
Also, like, I mean, punji is like a non-Western name. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Like, I don't know for sure it's Vietnamese, but it's a pretty, you know what I mean? It seems like that, so. I don't know, but.
Yeah.
And I want to say that's what the spikes are called. I think that's the spike is called like a punji or something, and that's why they're called that. But yeah, like, we weren't really doing that. But I mean, I guess you could be like, oh, well, he was so messed up, he learned how to do it.
Okay, digging a hole that big takes a while. Like, it's big enough to have two grown men in the corner with a camera crew.
Yeah.
Like, that's how big it is, realistically. It is big enough for a camera crew to be down there with them. It is massive. It would take so long. Did he get, like a backhoe up there?
Did he hire a contractor?
It's also worth mentioning, because I'm just Googling it now, also, it's much deeper than a real one. Because real ones, they don't have to be, like, very deep. Like, you fall in them, and then all of a sudden it's like, oh, crap, I have all, like, bamboo spikes coming through me. And they smell horrible, so I'm in trouble. You know, like, but also, you know, just a quick aside, there's also a Reddit post here, like, yes, my neighbor has put punji sticks made of rebar in his yard for the purpose of, and I'm not even gonna click on it. I don't even need to know, but apparently.
Am I the asshole for setting up something that breaks the Geneva Convention to harm my neighbors?
The sequel to the Malice Fence, the Malice Rebar Punji.
Oh my god, Reddit's so cool. But yeah, so that's what they're doing right now. Brooke and Rita are now at the parking lot, and they're waiting, which, like, kind of seems like a bad plan. Like, this seems like
wait in the car, I think.
Yeah, get in the car. And Brooke's like, where is everybody? They should be here by now. And I'm like, do you not remember what's going on? They're probably dealing with the situation, TM. You're all in a situation right now. I reckon they're probably dealing with the situation you're all in. That's really the only reason. It's not like they stopped to, like, get ice cream. Like, there's really no other explanations that would make sense as to what they're currently doing besides getting fucked up, probably. And then Brooke's like, well, maybe we should just go get help. And she's right. And then Rita's like, oh, you want to bail on your friends? They wouldn't bail on you. And I'm like, Rita, they only have known her for 24 hours. And roughly 12 of those 24 hours, they've gaslit the shit out of her. So probably they would, actually. Not a great argument. And then Rita is like, all right, fine, you go, and then I will let the others know that you went for help. And Brooke, who is the dumbest person alive, is like, yeah, that seems like a normal thing that a human being would say, is like, yeah, I'll stay behind and tell the other people that you went for help instead of going with you in case something went wrong. And because this is obviously a setup, as she's opening the door, Rita sticks a syringe in her neck. And then she passes out. And then this is where we start to get one of... This is what we're on. No, we're two. This is our second plot twist of this episode.
Yeah.
Where Nurse Rita's like, hee, hee, hee. I'm I'm bad, actually.
I'm nasty.
I'm nasty.
I'm nasty now.
And I've been nasty. Teehee. Here's a syringe in the neck. We'll figure out what that's and what it's in it in a second. And it's going to be really dumb. And then we get a flashback to explain the plot hole slash plot twist.
Yes. Flashback time, baby. We're so fucking back.
Oh, yeah.
It's because they wanted more Hopple time. They knew everybody wanted more Hopple time. And
the
so
people
we
were clamoring
Hopple.
For Dr. Hopple. Yeah. How could they not?
They were like, she died so fast. We need more. We need more. So it's Dr. Hopple time. We're in Dr. Hopple's office at the asylum that Mr. Jingles was at. And Dr. Hopple's talking to somebody named Mrs. Chambers at her desk, who we can't see yet. And then she's like, you're wasting your time. Benjamin Richter's a lost cause. And then it pans over to reveal Nurse Rita. Uh-oh, she's not Nurse Rita. She's someone named Miss Chambers. And she's applying for the position of person who gets to talk to Mr. Jingles, I guess.
Yeah, it's unclear. It's unclear. Like, I think they're trying to say, like, she's here to get a confession out of him in some way.
I think
it's
a Mindhunter thing. Not... I think they're trying to rip off Mindhunter, where they're like, this guy's so good at talking to serial killers that, like, he solves all the crimes. I think that's what
like,
they're going
the problem
for.
Is, the problem is, Mr. Jingles is already in prison. Like, they already got him. They don't need to, like, get him more. Like, he's in there.
That
he's
is
done.
That is quite literally where this falls apart. Because, like, they're going to try and explain, like, oh, well, she's going to, like, get him to confess to more stuff. I'm like, you only need him to confess to more stuff if, like, you didn't get, like, if he's still in the process of getting arrested. Like, you don't need to, like, figure that out, like, more. I guess maybe, like, finding, like, I don't know, closure for the families, but, like, she's going to be like, oh, but, like, the feds keep this under wraps. I'm like, okay, so this doesn't get passed on to the families of the victims, I guess.
Also, like, she doesn't, like, get any useful information. Like, they know what happened. Like, he killed them kids. The end.
Yep.
That's kind of it. It's not like a long story, you know?
Also, like, that's the thing is, like, he's not a serial killer. Because, okay, so here's the thing. Is she's like, Dr. Hopple is like, oh, he never talks. You're never going to get him to talk, which, again, is a Halloween ripoff. And then she's like, he's just pure evil. He's just pure evil. Which, again, more Halloween ripoff. And then Rita, who we find out her real name is Donna Chambers, is like, I got Ted Bundy to confess to two unsolved murders, which we're writing more fan fiction about serial killers, real serial killers, I guess. Yippee. And then Hopple's like, oh, well, nobody told me that. And then Rita's like, it's because the feds keep it on the down low. But I've talked to Gacy. I've talked to Bonin, a.k.a. the freeway killer. I've talked to Patrick Kearney, a.k.a. the trash bag killer. I've talked to Robert Hansen, a.k.a. the butcher baker.
It's okay. It's so funny how she pivots between being like, okay, people know these ones, but let me talk down to you a little bit. I know you might not be aware of the trash bag killers, which I'd say like, yeah, dog shit name, boss. Honestly, we should call them all the trash bag killer because that's what they are to me.
Right. And then the butcher baker. I'm like, I'm pretty sure that's like a Guilty Gear character. Like, that doesn't sound real.
Yeah. Yeah.
And it's so obvious. They just Googled like serial killers of the 80s and then just like went with whoever happened to be like on the Wikipedia page. The fact that they make them say like the person's name and then like their alias is so fucking funny because it's like, well, we're gonna mention all these people so that the audience knows we know stuff, but also we don't expect the audience to be smart enough to know who these people are, so like we're gonna explain it. But yeah, and she's like, oh, their lips were sealed, and I'm like, all of those people, like, I say canonically because it's fucking, they're real people. All of those people were real people.
Yeah.
All those
according
people.
According to the Catholic Church.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Confessed. All of those people confessed to their crimes,
like,
in real life.
Right?
Yeah. Like, there's none of them that, like, didn't confess to their crimes. And so she's like, yeah, I get them to like, confess to more crimes. And I'm like, okay. Like, again, for a serial killer, I guess that could be some closure for, like, victims' families who, like, didn't know what happened happened to their, like, loved one or who killed them. But, like, A, you just said the feds don't pass this information on to anybody. And B, Mr. Jingles isn't a serial killer. He did one isolated incident. So it's not like there's unknown victims that he has that need closure. It's just... he did a thing on a day, and we kind of already know who he killed. Like, we already got it. We don't need any more confession. Like, we're good. There's no reason Hopple would be like, yeah, you know what? You're right. See if you can get Chex Notes more info out of him about the thing that we've already put him in jail for, I guess. But yeah, anyway, she's like, well, Donna slash Rita, her name is Donna now, unfortunately, is like, well, don't you want me to at least try? Aren't you just, like, a little bit curious? You've been trying to get him to talk for, like, a decade. Like, don't you want me to try? And Hopple's like, you know what?
What are you...
Hell yeah.
What are they talking about? What do you mean you've been trying to get him to talk? No, you haven't. He's in jail forever. Just let him sit there.
They're ripping off Halloween.
Like, that's his punishment.
They're ripping off Halloween. They're just ripping that's all off they're doing.
Halloween.
Yeah.
It's just brutal because it, like, doesn't fit for, like, a myriad of reasons. This isn't just, like, a little fuck up. This is just, like, none of this makes any sense due to your framing. Like, you fucked it all up. Holy shit.
Yeah. Like, the reason it works in Halloween is because Michael Myers does his first kill when he's, like, 3 years old. And then he just straight up does not talk for, like, the next 20 years. And so they never figure out, like, hey, Michael Myers, why did you kill your sister when you were 3 years old? That's kind of fucked up. He just never talks, so they never find out, and it pisses everybody off because he's doing it on purpose to fuck with people. That would make sense, why people are like, ugh, that guy, he just fucking, he never talks. It sucks so bad. We don't need Mr. Jingles to talk. Like, he's already in jail. We don't need him to talk. If he never talks again, it would be fine, and no one would be the worse for it. But alas, they agree, and they start taking Donna to go see Mr. Jingles, and the warden, I guess, new guy just dropped, is like, listen, Mr. Jingles can regress to violence at any time. And she's like, oh, hell yeah, let me get in there and get him all riled up for, science, which was not her pitch, to be clear. That was not her pitch at the beginning. But she's like, yeah, we got to get him all riled up and evil again so I can study him, question mark. They leave her alone at just a table with Mr. Jingles, who's having a little nap. Again, this is how I know they're ripping off Mindhunter, because this is just like the same format as Mindhunter.
Okay.
He's just like taking a little nap at the table, and the man, who I assume is the warden, is like, here is a tape recorder. This has to be running. Like, that's our rule. And then he leaves, and I'm like, so we're doing the honor system for, like, a serial killer, quote unquote, and a lady who just walked in and said, source, trust me, bro? No guards or anything? Just like, have at him. Good luck. Hope he doesn't do anything, because she immediately turns it off. She immediately turns off the tape recorder, because they made no effort to make sure the rule was enforced. And she's like, do you think you're evil? Because Dr. Hopple thinks you're evil. But her turning off the recorder gets him to be like, oh, what the? Maybe I should talk to this lady, which is like, okay. and she's
also like, there being no cameras is fucking nuts, right?
Yeah.
That there's no cam. Like, obviously it would be a one-on-one room or whatever, but like no cameras even? Like no one observing even a little? Okay, sure, I guess.
It's fine. It's as long as she doesn't rile him up. Wait, I'm being handed a note that said she specifically said she was going to rile him up.
Said
oh,
she's
no.
Rile him up, yeah.
Oh,
she
no.
loves doing that shit.
Her sweet
is going to rile him up.
I hate that. I hate that she's nasty and loves riling him up. She's like, the reason why you're so violent is because you were in the army. And then he's like, no. And then she's like, okay, I bet it was porn and the war. And that's why we have so many serial killers. And I'm like, we've had serial killers for a really long time. Like, a really long time. The difference is that we see more of them statistically now because we've made a lot of advancements in law enforcement and, like, detectiving and whatnot. So, like, we're catching a lot more of them. But, like, we've always had them. And also, they've done a lot of killings. It's just that if you weren't there at the time that they discovered the body, you probably were going to get away with it. That's like, the difference.
I think, to be a little fair to American Horror Story for my uncharacteristic part portion of this podcast season, I do think they are playing this up as, like, she's obviously not correct, yes. Right? Like, yeah, like, I don't think they're trying to say, like, that is what's doing it. It just, she's, like, yeah. Kind of a nut in her own way, you know?
Also, I think another weird thing is they don't directly quote this, but, like, she's like, oh, it's because of porn. That was something that Ted Bundy specifically said in his defense, because he defended himself in court because he's a fucking jackass. Is he's like, it was because of the porn. The porn is what made me violent. It's not my fault. It's the porn. That's why I did all these murders. So basically, they're just having a character parrot Ted Bundy's talking points. When allegedly this is the character that was, like, so smart that she outsmarted Ted Bundy per her, like, last statement. So... do with that information what you will, I guess.
He's like, can I tell the court that? Yeah, yeah, go nuts. I don't care.
Yeah. And to, like...
So, he shakes his head a few times and then says, I think it's high fructose corn syrup, which, having someone do the whole not speaking for 20 years routine, except it would be like 7 for him, right? It wasn't even that many. Regardless, and having it break with high fructose corn syrup, it's just, like, really stupid. Mm-hmm. It's, like, really dumb. It immediately sells me as, oh, this guy's dumb as shit, which I... not great for your main antagonist to be like, oh, he's dumber than a bag of hammers. Cool.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. They kind of went with that angle with Twisty, too, which I think is his other character, which I think is, like, weird. They were like, do the same thing.
They want this guy to be dumb. Yeah. That sucks. What a way to be typecast. Sorry, brother. Tough out here.
Yeah. He does play John Wayne Gacy in Hotel, I guess. And he's not, like, particularly dumb there, I suppose. He is playing a real man, which isn't great. But, like, he's there, at least, and not stupid, I suppose. I guess
he's definitely not, like, stupid as Gacy in Hotel. I did feel like he had, like, an odd sort of affectation to him where he was kind of like, well, there's Jeffrey, he's weird, you know what I mean, like, that slow kind of voice, but he definitely didn't come across like stupid, you know what I
he
mean
he was
like
big
that.
And goofy,
yeah.
He was like the big goofy jovial serial killer John Wayne Gacy, you know, know and love.
Right, which you think would have been, like, Twisty, actually, right? Like, like the lovable serial killer, but, you know what, I don't know.
No,
Twisty was like,
Twisty just said weird shit like, I love the children and stuff like that, which didn't do him any favors.
I'll never forgive them for turning a good mysterious killer character into, like, I'm just trying to be normal. You know what I mean? Like,
Slow Beef, excuse me, he was trying to be the special children's clown. No, I'll have you remember.
Real. But, like, parentheses real. He was trying to be the special children's clown. Parentheses real.
Like, just a big victim of happenstance.
I hate when I'm trying to be the special children's clown and I get, like, my face shot off or whatever the fuck happened to Twisty.
So, after their dumb exchange of why they think there's more serial killers... he then claims, oh, I don't even remember killing the kids. It was just, they said I had a psychotic break and was temporarily evil. And they said, I'm definitely better now. And it's like, okay, man, who cares? I don't give a shit, actually. This is, like, not sad. Sorry. You're not, no, absolutely not. Was he mentally ill or evil? It's up to you to decide, audience.
Yeah, for them to be like, oh, he's pure evil, and that's why he never talks. I'm like, well, that doesn't really line up with the idea that he was so crazy you had to put him in, an asylum. Usually you don't go to an asylum versus jail unless you got ruled insane. Like, that's usually the rule, is you go to, like, an insane asylum, which is where he is after you do a crime, if you are ruled, like, criminally insane. Otherwise, you just go to jail, or, like, you get executed. Like, that's the alternative. So, like, clearly they're like, yeah, he was crazy. So for them to be like, he was evil, actually. Like, again, this only works in Halloween because he gets put in an asylum because he was 3 when he did it. So he wouldn't go to prison because he was 3 when he did it in Halloween. So, like, again, they're ripping off Halloween in the bad way, in a bad way.
What if Mr. Jingles was a 3-year-old veteran of Vietnam?
Ooh,
what
the like Richard Ramirez.
I think you've got the season 13 antagonist all lined up.
Hell yeah. She's like, I'm going to help you prove that it wasn't actually your fault. And he's like, I love that. And then we don't really know why she wants that. And then she's like, hell yeah, I have to bust you out of here so that I can have you kill a bunch of kids so that I can see you in your element. And she shows him a newspaper with Margaret's face on it. And he's like, ooh, I want to stab her so bad. I want to stab her so bad. And I'm like, that doesn't really make you seem like you're not guilty, which is what Donna just said she wanted to do. Yeah. Seems yeah. bad. And he says, oh, but if I go back to the camp, I'm going to definitely do murders. And she's like, feel my hand. And he does. And then he's like, oh, your hands are so soft. And she's like, thanks, it's my cold cream. A lot of rabbits had to die to make this formula. And I'm like, we have been making cosmetics since, like, humankind has been around. We have had cosmetics for the Egyptians had cosmetics. The Greeks had cosmetics. We've been doing lotion for a long time before animal testing. This is a nothing point that she's trying to make.
Liz, you would not be able to look good if I didn't eat a raw deer twice a month. Come on. Work with me here. Be realistic. Holy shit.
You wouldn't have lipstick unless I, checks notes, chucked a bag of puppies in the river? Weird, but okay.
I've got to take the blood out of all these kittens to make your rouge.
Yeah. And I'm like, what is this fucking point?
Also, like, it would be a better point, and also pretty funny, too, if she just handed him a bunch of pornography. You know, like, okay, I want you to read all this, then kill people to help prove my theory, you know? But that never comes up. She's just like, I'll just kill it without, we'll just say it was the porn, I guess, or something.
Yeah, we'll say that, like, I needed this for science. It's okay that you killed those kids because we're testing. Because the thing is, she's like, yeah, this is why I need, like, it's okay that you kill these kids. I say kids. I found out because I had to look it up on the Wikipedia. I didn't look it up, but I found this information out while I was trying to figure something else out. All of our, like, main cast, like Xavier and Montana, they're at the youngest 29. They're supposed to be between the ages of 29 and 32, which is insane.
I was thinking 24 at the bottom. Yeah.
They seem like teens. They seem like kids, which is why we call them kids. But they're like late 20s, early 30s. And I don't remember how old Trevor's supposed to be.
Because like their job and what they were doing beforehand pegs them as being like early to mid 20s.
Yeah.
But then you're right. They act like 17 because... being a camp counselor is a job that is in film and fiction generally taken on by like 16 to 18 year olds, mm-hmm. right? Like that's the point.
Yes.
Yeah.
And like them drinking is like kind of scandalous because they're like underage. These people are just alcoholics, I guess. But yeah, so like she's like, it's okay that you kill those people, the counselors, because we're going to figure out why you did it. And then we're going to make sure you're a hero because you'll be the world's last serial killer. And I'm like, that's never been how anything ever has been fixed. Like, we've never done that with anything ever, period.
Thank God for that murderer who closed it out. Like, yeah.
We knew why he did it specifically. That's the thing is I'm like, okay, so you talked to all these other real serial killers and got like info from them. None of them like gave you the info you needed to be able to be like, I know what makes serial killers now. And that's where we can stop him. We can make sure there's no more. Yeah. Anyway, he like jump scares her at this point, which is weird. And he's like, he's not even jump scaring her to like, threaten her, which is why it's weird. He's just like, huh, and he like does a kind of like scary move, I guess, across the table. And he's like, why did somebody hurt you? And I'm like, insane way to deliver this question. And she's like, I have my reasons, but it's because I don't believe anybody is truly evil or irredeemable. We're like petting his face, and he likes it. So now there's two people who are being weirdly seductive and touching on serial killers' faces in a row. And
good news, definitely won't be three. Definitely won't be three soon. Mm-hmm. No way.
And it definitely won't be, never mind. Anyway, so they plan his escape. She leaves a bag for him, like outside of the asylum for when he gets out. And then it shows Nurse Rita, I say killing. She doesn't actually kill this person. She, like, follows the real Nurse Rita to the camp and, like, accosts her at a gas station. And then that lady, Nurse Rita, is like, it's really weird that you're following me. And she's like, oh, no, I'm going to the camp, too. But she doesn't, like, explain why. And then Rita's like, oh, okay, well, I'm scared because, like, there's a serial killer in L.A. And, like, that's scary. And then Donna is like, it's because of the porn. It's because of the porn. Ted Bundy said so. That's why we're having all the serial killings. It's fine. And then we're using more licensed music, but this is the one that's like insanely on the nose. Because when Rita comes back to her car from pissing, as the song Man Eater is playing quite loudly and Rita is singing along to it, Donna, who we know is Rita, pops up from her backseat and I guess chloroforms her. She doesn't kill her, spoiler alert. I guess chloroforms her, which
yeah, insane. Actually, that is, yeah, that's actually crazy now that you bring that up. I remembered that this character does live, but the fact that she lives after being accosted mid-driving is the thing. Like, that's a hard situation to, like, de-escalate, you know, in a way that doesn't get both people hurt. Because even if you, like, hold up a gun and are just, like, pull over, like, there's a chance they'll do something stupid.
Yeah, you know? At that point, like, the person, that's the thing, is it's really hard to threaten somebody driving a car. Because, like, I'm just going to drive us both into a wall. Like, at least I have a 50-50 chance of not dying. You're not going to kill me. We're going 60. For what it's worth,
I would never hold you up at gunpoint in a car. I trust you would drive us into a wall, and I respect that a lot.
Thank you. Yeah. That really says a lot about a lot about what you know about me, and I appreciate that.
I'm glad this podcast.
I know we'd be going into that wall.
Yeah.
This podcast really let us come together.
I think. Really learned a lot of stuff about my friends on this podcast. So now we're checking off another licensed song. The rest of the licensed songs in this episode are nothing for nobody, so I don't think I even wrote them down. But this one was like about as subtle as a brick, so I wrote this one down. And then back at camp, it's now no longer flashback time, and Rita/Donna is watching Brooke struggle with her paralyzed legs, and she's like, I gave you horse tranquilizers. And I'm like, that's not what horse tranquilizers do.
She gave her horse paralyzers. Oh, fuck, I can't believe it. Like, I'm trying to think what the equivalent is of something you inject in somebody that, like, temporarily disables half their body. And the only thing I can think of is, like, epidurals for pregnancy. Yeah. And I'm going to tell you right now that you can't give someone an epidural for pregnancy in the neck. That would kill them.
Yeah.
That would extremely kill them. She gives her the old neck epidural, the old horse paralyzers. And she's like kind of scraping in a car trying to pull herself. The problem is most of her works, right? And that's not how, like, ketamine functions.
Yeah, that's the biggest part is, like, that's not what tranquilizers do. Tranquilizers make you go to sleep. Usually, that's what being tranquil means. You get tranked and you,
like,
go to sleep.
Woozy, yeah. Fucked up. Yeah, commonly represented in fiction by giving someone, like, double vision, making them stumble a bunch, make them speak slowly, unable to process information around them, that kind of stuff. It's not fully awake and aware, but my legs are off. Fuck. Yeah. Somebody enable legs.
Well, that's the thing is, like, I was trying to think about it in, like, the moment. I was like, this has to also be a ripoff of something. And it's a ripoff of, like, a million things. Someone getting, like, a syringe in the neck and, like, getting taken down by a villain is, like, an extremely common premise. I can't even blame them for, like, stealing it or whatever. But I was trying to think, I'm like, have any of the instances I've seen that be like, oh, it makes you paralyzed and you have to just, like, live through it? And there are instances that I can bring to mind of, like, oh, you can't move now. But they say it's a paralytic.
The Nasty Clown, Terrifier.
Oh, yeah, yeah,
right?
Terrifier. There are, like, a lot of them, and it's not even limited to, like, horror. It's a really common thing in action, too. Like, action heroes have it happen to them a lot. But usually, if the person is paralyzed, I think the fucking Joker does it to Batman in The Dark Knight or something.
He loves doing shit like that.
It's right up his alley. Like, but they say, the thing is, the characters that do that when you are, like, paralyzed, there is a really, like, famous horror movie that does that, and that's, like, the plot of the whole thing is that the main character is paralyzed for it because of being injected. I can't remember the name of it right now. But the person who does it specifically says, I injected you with a paralytic. Either that, or if it's just like the person's legs, they will stab them in the leg with the syringe and will be like, I've injected your legs with a paralytic so you can't run away. In fact, the movie I'm thinking of right now, off the top of my head, where this happens, stars the guy who plays fucking Dandy in Hotel, which is why I kept, or not Hotel, in Freak Show. Like, that's why I keep thinking of it, is because he's the main character who does that to a lady in the movie. And that's the plot of the whole movie, is that she's paralyzed and can't move because he injects her with a thing. But that's not what tranquilizers do. That's just straight up isn't. Also, a syringe that's the size of a turkey baster full of horse tranks is killing you. Brooke weighs like 85 pounds. Yeah. Like, she's done. She's done.
You have to be the drummer for The Who or Elon Musk to live through that much ketamine. Those are like the two choices of people with enough tolerance. Keith Moon. That's about it.
Yeah. It's one of those things where, like, I wouldn't go as far as to say, like, apologize. I wouldn't, like, let it go if this was a different show, because it is still, like, wrong. But it's one of those things that so many other properties, so many other fictions have done this exact thing of, like, character injects other character or, like, does, like, a chloroform thing that, like, there's no reason to get it wrong. You have so many things you can rip off. It's not like there's not source material.
Are you ready for my even more petty grievance that's going to make yours seem like extremely reasonable? What kind of doctor is this lady? That they're not all the same. You don't all do the same thing. They're different things. Like, you know, if someone's like a psychiatrist, I don't like, especially someone who's like, I go and talk to serial killers and get them to open up. Like, oh, okay, do you do a lot of phlebotomy or just like today?
Also, like, where did you get it? Like, where did you get horse tranks? Yeah. Like, that many horse tranks?
You don't work at a vet.
Yeah. Also, so this is like the part where, like, if you think about it retroactively, because we still have a lot to get through in this episode, so, like, we'll probably close it here. But, like, retroactively, there was a scene in the last episode that I complained about then, where we see Mr. Jingles, like, open up Nurse Rita's, like, office and, like, corner her, and she looks in that scene like she's going to fight him, and then a little bit later in the episode she just shows up in front of the gang that's trying to drive away, and they have to, like, veer off the road to avoid her. And then when they're like, what happened to you, she's like, I had a run-in with Mr. Jingles. And I'm like, that none of that makes sense, because first of all, you showed, like, this wasn't like a flashback told from an unreliable narrator. We saw Mr. Jingles go into her office and scare her, and her be like, time to fight this big man. Why would she have done that if she was, like, the person who was organizing him being there, and, like, he's her special little guy? That doesn't make any sense. Also, way to treat your audience as fucking stupid, like, 100% of the time. Like, oh, like, we didn't show it, not because we're lazy, but because, oh, it's because it would have revealed that Rita was actually the bad guy and was working with him. And I'm like, you can't make up a situation, in this case being Mr. Jingles walking in on Rita and, like, her wanting to fight, just so that later you can be like, gotcha, that was that wasn't real. I'm like, those characters would have no reason to, like, punk us, the imaginary audience.
Also, I'll say, if they had, like, established that Rita was, like, a little fucked up and evil, but nobody knew, instead of having a dumb little fucking twist that doesn't work and no one gives a shit about, what if they had tension? What if there was a character that we, the audience, knew intended to harm everyone, but they didn't know, and so we got to sit there and be like, oh no, for, like, multiple levels? Wouldn't that be so much better for a horror property?
Yeah. Also, the thing is, like, just there are so many plot holes opened by the, oh, Rita's actually Donna, and Donna's been nasty this whole time, like, thing, because, like, first of all, the biggest one, and so much of this, is just, if Xavier hadn't invited his friends, or his friends hadn't all been fucking weirdos who immediately accepted his offer, It would just be Xavier here. This would just be Xavier getting terrorized by roughly 12 people at this point. Like, this would have just been Xavier has a really, really... I guess technically...
Xavier tries to jack off and not get caught by Margaret yeah. and two serial killers.
Because Xavier would have had to... He would have had to deal with Margaret being a bitch. That's already, like, not good. That's his boss. Like, that's not good. I guess he wouldn't have had to deal with Richard Ramirez, technically, because Brooke wouldn't be there. He would have to deal with...
Who knows? Fucking, who knows what Satan would have told him, honestly.
True. He wouldn't have had to deal with, what's his name, showing up, Blake, or whatever, the guy who was, like, blackmailing him. He wouldn't have had to deal with... Or he would have had to deal with him. He would have had to deal with Blake showing up.
Yeah.
Then he would have had to deal with Mr. Jingles, parentheses, real, at some point. And then he would have had to deal with Miss... Or Mr. Jingles, parentheses, five different teenagers, who also show up and harass everybody. Then he would have had to deal with Nurse Donna / Rita, who's, like, trying to see him. Would she have been pissed if it was just Xavier? Because she's like, well, a sample size of one isn't really, like, anything. I don't think you can do science off of one sample. I don't think you're allowed to.
Bringing together a full orchestra to play for, like, one guy.
Yeah.
Being like, this feels a bit wasteful.
Mm-hmm. So, like, there's a lot of plot holes around specifically her being there and, like, her doing that. Spoiler alert to a part of the episode that we're not going to be able to get to today. The real Nurse Rita is alive and will be encountered by other characters. I don't know.
Just like, behind a rock.
Yeah, she's like, I think under a canoe, but she, like, can make noise and can, like, hoot and holler. And I'm like, what was your plan, Donna? Like, were you just going to leave that lady there for forever? Like, she's probably going to die. She can't eat or, like, get water. So, like, she probably will die. Why didn't you just already kill her? Like, what was the plan with keeping her in a canoe? Did you expect no campers to show up at any point? Like... Whatever.
I was like, maybe she just thought it would be hidden enough, but, like, no, this was a camp that was supposed to be filled with endless children getting into every nook and cranny. You know them little bastards love to get in every nook and cranny. they'll find ways into electrical closets you thought were locked decades ago.
Yeah. Oh my god. So that's our second plot twist, I guess you could say. It's not particularly good, and it's not particularly interesting.
Literally, when like Rita pulled out the syringe and injected Brooke in the neck, I said, "I guess." Like, that was my reaction to the plot twist. Was like, "Sure, she hasn't really contributed a lot. I don't care." Like, all right.
Yeah. So that's our next plot twist. The next part of the episode, which is going to be baffling and confusing and irritating, is going to be a lot of backstory for a character who is going to die roughly 35 seconds later. which is really annoying. But we are going to get a whole flashback sequence and multiple scenes of multiple groups interacting with said character, all for that character to basically explode, for lack of a better word, basically take a step and explode. So it's very frustrating.
If I was a screenwriter, and I'm not, maybe this is why I don't make the big buck, I feel like I would instead invest the time building up a character that would be in the season for more time so that the, like, you know, viewers would be invested in them. But,
Yeah,
I'm no screenwriter. What can I say? I'm no Brad Falchuk or whatever.
Yeah, something like that. Falchuk. Yeah,
Ryan
who cares?
Murphy. I don't care.
Brian Murphy.
Brian Murphy.
Yeah.
Huge.
Brian Burpee. Let's go. All right. Well, thank you everybody for listening. We'll be back next time for the back third of this episode where. Oh my god, it's so dumb. Not that much happens, but all of it's stupid, and I hope you're excited to listen. Till next time, everybody. Have a great night.
Bye.